The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. Lord, I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, on this fourth day of November 2019. Only 364 more shopping days until we buy another, we vote another president in. Steve Elkins will be joining us second hour today. He's lost in Florida traffic someplace. Do me a favor, because I'm going to do a couple of stories here on all these evil assault weapons. Now, this bears repeating. Sonny Bono, by the way, was when Susanna Hupp gave testimony in front of the House Judiciary. Sonny Bono was actually sitting there and he was tearing up a little bit, as he did when there were other hearings. The guy just had to go because Sonny Bono was one of these people that just cared. You know, how do you kill a spirit in a person? Put him in politics, I guess. And if you can't kill the spirit, well, run him into a tree on a slope someplace. And of course, we cannot forget Hillary Clinton, along with her daughter, showing up on a talk show, and the setup question was done. And we'll get to that as well. You know, geez, stranger and stranger we are in this country. Just for the record, go ahead and run the Susanna Hupp. This is the Senate Judiciary. Does it tell you what year that was? I got dead air here. Should I breathe heavy or say something so I can repeat what you're saying so it sounds like? Well, just play it and then let me know. Any rate, Susanna Hupp, parents killed in a Luby's down here in Texas when she wasn't allowed to carry a gun in her purse.
Let me make sure that you understand I'm not here representing the NRA. I'm not even a member. Okay? Secondly, I'd like to say that in your opening statements, you commented specifically on my testimony saying that basically it had nothing to do with this issue. And I had to chuckle because then I noticed you had Mr. Brady up here who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that, I didn't grow up in a house with guns. I don't hunt. I personally abhor hunting. But I was given a gun by a friend when I was 21 to carry in my purse for self-defense, and I was taught how to use it. A couple of years ago, my parents and I went to a cafeteria in Texas on a bright sunny day. We weren't in a dark alley where we weren't supposed to be. And as you all know the story, this madman drove his truck through the window. And he began shooting. Well, immediately, my father and I got down on the floor and put the table up in front of us. And this guy kept shooting. And you're thinking, well, you know, what could it be? Is it a robbery? That's the first thing that generally comes to mind. And he keeps shooting. It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could. Now, I'd like to make something clear. I hear all this talk about how many bullets can go in a clip. I've been there. I can tell you it doesn't matter. It takes 1 second to switch out a clip. You can have one bullet or 100 bullets. It doesn't matter, guys. I've been there. He goes, dump, dump. Just like that. That's not enough time to rush a man. I promise you. When I finally realized what was occurring, I thought, I got him. And I reached for my purse. He was maybe 12 feet away. You know, is it possible my gun could have jammed? Sure. Is it possible I could have missed? Sure. But I can tell you I've hit much smaller targets at much greater distances. But then I realized that a couple of months earlier I had made the stupidest decision of my life. I took my gun out of my purse and left it in my car. Because as you well know, in the state of Texas, it's sometimes a felony offense to carry a gun in your purse. I can tell you that I'm not mad at the guy that did this. As he continued, it was obvious that he was a madman. My father, at that point, said, I've got to do something. I've got to do something. He's going to kill everybody in here. And he rushed the man. No way. Guy turned, shot him in the chest. He went down, was obviously mortally wounded. For whatever reason, that made the man change directions and go off to my left. Shortly thereafter, someone at the back of the restaurant broke out a window. When I saw what looked like an opportunity to escape, I turned around and I grabbed my mother by the shirt and I said, come on, come on, we've got to run, we've got to get out of here. And then my feet grew wings and I was out the back window. As soon as I got out, I realized that my mother had not followed me out. And as I learned from the police officers, she had crawled over to where my father was and cradled him until the guy got back around to her, put the gun to her head. She looked up at him, put her head down, and he pulled the trigger. My parents had just had their 47th wedding anniversary. She wasn't going anywhere. As I mentioned, I'm not really mad at the guy that did this, and I'm certainly not mad at the guns that did this. They didn't walk in there by themselves and pull their own triggers. The guy that did it was a lunatic. That's like being mad at a rabid dog. I'm mad at my legislators for legislating me out of the right to protect myself and my family. I would much rather be sitting in jail with a felony offense on my head and have my parents alive. As far as these so-called assault weapons, you say that they don't have any defense use. You tell that to the guy that I saw on a videotape of the LA riots, standing up on his rooftop, protecting his property and his life from an entire mob with one of these so-called assault weapons. Tell me that he didn't have a legitimate self-defense use. Just one final statement. I've been sitting here getting more and more fed up with all of this talk about these pieces of machinery having no legitimate sporting purpose, no legitimate hunting purpose. People, that is not the point of the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is not about duck hunting. And I know I'm not going to make very many friends saying this, but it's about our right, all of our right, to be able to protect ourselves from all of you guys up there.
From all of you guys up there. You know, tyranny has a big problem, folks, when the population is armed. And these dumb little Democrats, you know, all this stuff that's being promoted, it's all the touchy-feely stuff. They care so much about children, but yet they don't care about the fact that a woman can deliver a baby alive and the doctor's allowed to murder it right then and there and then sell off the body parts. Thank you, Planned Parenthood. Thank you. Yes, they have such a high regard for life. They know all this stuff. It's not about making America safer from criminals. This is about disarming citizens so they'll be impotent or impudent against their government tyranny. You know, I brought this up last week that they haven't gotten their wish list here. We're not part of the global union. We're not tearing down our borders. At least for now, we're maintaining sovereignty, at least in name only. The health care that we were supposed to get, the Affordable Care Act that was actually written by insurance companies for our wonderful legislators, and then we called it Obamacare. You know, I didn't care what we called it. Whether you call him Barry Sartoro or the drag queen of America, I don't care. But there were two things that were supposed to already have been in place and already happened to us. And this is for total control of your life and your liberty. You know, this just wasn't an issue on the health care thing. Oh, well, you know, it's going to be mandated by the government that you have health care. Yeah, okay. It was about the data collection. That's what this is about. To know everything about you. And with all the other information that's gathered that somehow the government just keeps getting its hands on, but Mr. Motherzucker claims that, no, we don't, give information to people. Really? Is that so? Even the DMVs are making millions off of selling your data. That's right, the Department of Motor Vehicles. So don't tell me that the Fed and the state is not in there scooping up information, all this stuff in the data banks, to know who you are, when you were born, what you do, what kind of toilet paper you buy if they want to take a look at your purchases at the grocery store. But we were supposed to have the guns gone, folks. That way, the takeover of America would be a lot easier. Well, we still don't have national health care. And we still don't have across-the-board gun control. Oh, they've been nibbling. Oh, that's for sure. But by and large, the people that have the caches of guns and their ammunition, they could cut it off tomorrow and we could have the Second American Revolution or Restoration Project, give it a name, I don't care. I think we'd probably have enough cached out there that we could take care of business. And that's, of course, after the military and law enforcement decided that, wait a minute, which side of this fence am I really on? Yeah. Now, you're going to have a choice, aren't you? Now, let me give you an example here of these evil assault weapons. And by the way, about assault weapons, when the military possesses these weapons, they're called small arms. Small arms. Tiny little small arms. When law enforcement possess them, they are called personal defense weapons. When the citizens possess them, they're called assault weapons. Yeah, just like the book 1984 describes, manipulating language or newspeak. And again, here it is, this emotional stuff. Oh, the children. Oh, we got to get rid of these evil songs. Look what they're doing to the children. Now, this guy had a child, a pregnant mother, heavily pregnant. I'm going to assume that that was, all that water collection was pretty heavy, and she was probably due to have her second child. But this heavily pregnant mother uses an AR-15 to kill a home intruder after two men bust into her Florida home, pistol whipped her husband, and grabbed their 11-year-old daughter. Doesn't sound like a very good situation now, do it? Jeremy King was brutally attacked when two armed masked men stormed into his home in Lithia, Florida, last Wednesday night. Lithia? That isn't short for lithium, is it? I hope not. He said the men started grabbing his 11-year-old daughter and pistol-whipping him as they demanded money. King said one of the men fired a shot at his 8-month pregnant wife when she came out of the bedroom to see what was going on. She then quickly grabbed her AR-15 and started shooting at the armed intruders. Now, King's wife fatally struck one of the intruders as he tried to flee, and police said they are still searching for the other suspect. Now, the husband had to have 20 stitches and 3 staples in his head following the attack. They beat him up pretty damn good. Police say the suspects grabbed the couple's 11-year-old daughter as King tried to explain that they didn't have anything that was worth giving them. King told Bay News 9 that the men then started pistol-whipping him as the other kicked him repeatedly in the head. Jeremy King, 34, was at home in Lithia, Florida, with his 31-year-old wife when the two armed men busted in last Wednesday at about 9 p.m. His wife, as mentioned, 8 months pregnant, was in the back bedroom at the time and looked out to see what was going on. King said one of the men fired shots at his wife. She quickly grabbed the AR-15 and started shooting at the armed intruders. When he came toward the back door in her line of sight, she clipped him, King said of the moment his wife returned fire. He made it from my back door to roughly 200 feet out in the front ditch before the AR did its thing. King's wife only fired one round from the AR-15, which struck the suspect as he tried to flee. So, when the cops showed up, folks, they always show up sometimes between death and rigor mortis, don't they? But what happens in the meantime is your life. When the deputies arrived on the scene shortly after, well, they found the suspect dead in a doornail, laying in a ditch. The other gunman, being the staunch, brave man that he was, ran off after the fatal shot was fired, and investigators are still trying to locate him. Now, I want to play you something else. This is just recent from last month. And this was hearings, the Heritage Foundation. They gave testimony to the House Judiciary. A one named Amy Swearer. She says, that is why law-abiding citizens buy millions of these firearms. You can just about imagine. This is not what the House Judiciary Committee thought they would hear in their hearing on, and they entitled it, Protecting America from Assault Weapons. Here is what Amy Swearer said to these fine gentlemen. You know, the fools on the Hill.
Chairman Nadler, Ranking Member Collins, and distinguished members of Congress. My name is Amy Swearer, and I am the Senior Legal Policy Analyst at the Heritage Foundation's EdMeese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies. Just as doctors can only recommend an effective treatment plan if they first form a correct diagnosis based on accurate assessment of the symptoms, policy analysts and policy makers must have an accurate understanding of the societal problems they are seeking to combat. Unfortunately, too many policymakers appear completely uninformed about basic factual realities related to guns and gun violence. Don't misunderstand me. We all want safer communities. But the characteristics distinguishing so-called assault weapons from non-assault weapons are not factors like caliber, lethality, or rate of fire. Proposals to ban scary-looking features like barrel shrouds or pistol grips are, for all intents and purposes, proposals to force law-abiding citizens to own guns that are harder for them to handle, harder to fire accurately, and more likely to cause them injuries even when they are being used for lawful purposes. Moreover, semi-automatic rifles are not a meaningful driving factor behind rates of gun violence. Two-thirds of gun deaths in this country are suicides, where the type of firearm is essentially irrelevant. With respect to gun crimes, over 90% are committed with handguns. Rifles of any kind are definitively used in only 3 to 4% of gun homicides every year, and an American citizen is 4 times as likely to be stabbed to death than they are to be shot to death with a rifle of any kind. Despite frequent claims that semi-automatic rifles are the weapon of choice for mass public shooters, in the last decade, over half of these shootings have been carried out with handguns alone. On the other hand, semi-automatic rifles like the AR-15 are so well suited for defensive action against threats in a civilian context that the Department of Homeland Security quite literally designates them as personal defense weapons for law enforcement officers. It is little wonder, then, that millions of law-abiding citizens in this country also choose these types of semi-automatic rifles as their own personal defense weapons. Far from needing to be protected from these rifles, law-abiding Americans benefit when they are allowed to defend themselves with them, particularly in situations where they are outnumbered. Just last week, a homeowner in Rockdale County, Georgia, relied on his scary-looking semi-automatic assault weapon to defend himself against three masked teens armed with at least one handgun who tried to rob him and other residents in their own front yard. Ironically, the rifle deemed an assault weapon by many in this room was used defensively to protect innocent people against assault, while the perpetrators used a non-assault weapon offensively to commit actual assault. Importantly, some of the most famous examples of the defensive use of assault weapons by civilians come from scenarios where the government has been either unable or unwilling to defend entire communities from large-scale civil unrest. During the 1992 LA riots, for example, law enforcement was nowhere to be found as hundreds of looters ransacked Koreatown. Ordinary store owners like Richard Ree and his employees took it upon themselves to defend their livelihoods from lawlessness, using, in many cases, semi-automatic rifles. Similar stories emerged during the civil unrest in Ferguson, Missouri, in 2014. Now, there are some here today who still genuinely don't understand why or how anyone would need such scary-looking rifles for purposes other than mass murder. And so I have permission from my mother to explain it to you by partially embarrassing her. My mother did not grow up with firearms, and they will never be her favorite thing in the world. In fact, she'd never handled a firearm until I took her to the range for the first time several years ago. Now, I love my mother, but like every other novice with a handgun, she was quite bad. I mean, she struggled to hit a stationary target from 6 yards out under ideal conditions. And then she picked up an AR-15. And I watched my mother put a fist-sized grouping of lead in the center mass of a target from 20 yards out. That is why law-abiding citizens buy millions of these firearms. When accuracy and stopping power matter, they are simply better. Americans use firearms to defend themselves between 500,000 and 2 million times every year. God forbid that my mother is ever faced with a scenario where she has to stop a threat to her life. But if she is, I hope politicians protected by professional armed security didn't strip her of the right to use the firearm she can handle most competently. Frankly, I hope she has in her hands the scariest looking assault weapon she can find, so that we can both be confident in her ability to end the threat. Thank you.
Well, but okay. You see, it's not going to matter to these people because the emotional portion of this is more important than the point of firearms ownership, no matter what it looks like. Who cares? You know, would your wife really care if you bought her a pump shotgun and you painted it pink? No. Would that be scary? It'd be kind of novel. But I guarantee you, a armed perp or somebody that's bent on doing you harm, whether you pulled out a pink shotgun or a black shotgun, it wouldn't really matter, and you rock that sucker, you got somebody's attention, don't you? And I know a little bit about this suicide thing. You heard her report? Over 66% of the people that die in this country die by their own hand. And I know a little bit of something about that. She brought up the LA riots. For those out there that think that they understood the LA riots through the prism and the all-watchful eye of our wonderfully honest media, I would suggest, if you have Netflix, folks, there is a documentary out there, very well produced. It doesn't seek to slam politically one side or another's point of view. It just presents the fact of the LA riots. And the name of it is Let It Fall. That's what the chief of police wanted out there. You know, we had to get the police state rolling, didn't we, folks? What better way than to allow a group of angry people just dominion over a city and looting and burning and shooting and doing all kinds of nefarious things? And those shop owners, those store owners out there, they weren't just protecting their merchandise from the looters. They were protecting their lives, because at the time, there were high tensions between Asians and blacks out in L.A. and L.A. County. But you see, the news media didn't tell you that one either. And then you get to listen to the people that were actually there. The people that actually helped victims that they plastered. You know, if it leads, it bleeds. That they plastered all over the place. By the way, they've got more gruesome footage, up close and personal video footage of the guy that they drug out of the gravel hauler. They didn't tell you these highly touted and televised incidents. Who came up, who stepped up bravely to help these poor victims that happened to be white. That was their only sin. They were driving while white through an intersection in L.A. And who showed up to help them? Black people. Oh. See, that's the part of the story that we didn't tell. Because we wanted to ramp up the separation of Americans, divide them by class and skin color. And then the kicker, please tell me why the people that funded Antifa for the violence out there, George Soros, tell me why this guy isn't under arrest. He never will be, any more than the guys or people that murdered Epstein to shut him up. See, these are done deals. Nothing to see here. Case closed. Move on. Well, the case will never be closed. Not in my book. Not now. And not until we get the rule of law back in this country. And we throw the little communists that got into this government through the State Department in the 40s and the 50s. And then you saw the wonderful people that were chosen. That were in government, but, you know, they were just communists themselves. They were voting at the voting booths for Gus Hall and the good old Communist USA Party. And these are the people that ended up running our intelligence agencies. And you want to tell me that there's no agenda from Comey and Clapper and the gang to get rid of Donald Trump? And for all those folks out there, and I think you've gotten my point here about Donald Trump. Do I think he's a wonderful guy? Let me just put it to you this way. I don't run in his circles. But here was a guy that they had absolutely no idea what to do with. They couldn't manipulate him. I don't give a tinker's damn whether he's got an ego bigger than Alex Jones's or the state of Texas. For that matter, I don't care. Because we're going to have a president. And I can see this coming. If we do our due diligence here, that one day in the White House will be seated a president that reveres and fears violation of the Constitution of the United States of America, the law, folks. That day will come. Envision it. Work toward it. Everything that you see, you do, and you hear outside of Mother Nature herself is all a construct of what? Our imaginations, isn't it? And then when you get lost in this little world that has been cooked up for your pleasure or displeasure, depending on which end of the crappy stick that you're on, we still have choices. Make yours. Stand up. For God's sakes. Not only for yourself and your family, but the successive generations that are still to come in this country.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, Hey, this check is wrong. I worked a holiday and 7 hours of overtime. Not getting paid correctly is a real pain. It could also hurt our boss if our company provides out-of-compliance checks. That's right. Construction companies doing business with the government can get fined, or officials of the companies can go to jail if the checks aren't right. It's a law. The Davis-Bacon Act has 30 compliance issues for every check, but there is an easy way for construction companies to be in compliance. EMARS offers Compliant Client, a web-based system that finds and corrects all 30 of the possible out-of-compliance check issues. Users of Compliant Client report an 80% savings in time and money. Running a weekly payroll usually takes about 5 minutes. All 15,000-plus clients of EMARS have never had a legal compliance issue. Plus, they sleep better on check day. Contact EMARS at emarsinc.com or call 480-595-0466.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
There must be some kind of way out of here, said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief.
All right, we are back. Now, you want to talk about bizarro world, folks? In an appearance on The Daily Show, Hillary Clinton was asked to weigh in on her role as the arch nemesis of conservatives. Now, you have to hear this. I'm not going to tip my hand here. But you darn sure know that all questions that were going to be asked by Trevor Noah were cleared by Hillary. And by the way, her daughter was there with her. Here's the clip.
We're joined by Secretary Hillary Rodham Clinton and Chelsea Clinton, who co-wrote the book of Gutsy Women. Hillary, I have to ask you a question that has been plaguing me for a while. How did you kill Jeffrey Epstein? Because you're not in power, but you have all the power. I really need to understand how you do what you do. Because you seem to be behind everything nefarious, and yet you do not use it to become president. What is the game plan?
Well, Trevor.
But honestly, though, what does it feel like being the boogeyman of the right?
Well, it's a constant surprise to me. Because the things they say, and now, of course, it's on steroids with being online, are so ridiculous beyond any imagination that I could have. And yet they are so persistent in putting forth these crazy ideas and theories. Honestly, I don't know what I ever did to get them so upset.
Have you ever thought of just like meeting someone who says like, Hillary, you did this, and just looking at them and being like, yes, I did.
But I also think it's because it is effective. Like, I'll never forget reading an article after the 2016 election where the reporter interviewed someone who had been an undecided voter, and he said, you know, he thought my mom had won all three debates. She clearly had a greater command of the subject matter. And yet he just kept reading that she had murdered more than 50 people. And he said somewhat nonchalantly, like, I don't think that she murdered 50. But, like, what if she murdered two? And so you just think it's this, like, constant erosion of truth and sanity.
Right. Uh-huh. The country's gearing up.
Erosion of sanity in this country. Well, it's nice to see that you've got your little daughter in locked up. What's Mike? Who's the real father of Chelsea? Hubble. It's a constant surprise to me because the things that they say, and now, of course, it's on steroids with being online. What, Hillary, you can't convince Twitter and Facebook and more people? This was online. It's already gotten 100,000 views. I hope it gets a million. The Clinton body count is what she's referring to. Now, folks, now why do you think that that was brought up? Why do you think that was brought up? Could it be that her and her hubby or good buds and pals with Jeffrey Epstein? Well, Epstein was already popped, but the powers that be let him slide. And they thought, okay, we're still getting our sexual favors, our menu list on the deviant sex practices, and we can order up whatever we want, courtesy of Mr. Epstein and his wonderful crew. Yeah. But what if Clintons did have him killed? Because you see, the doctor that did the autopsy is looking at this and going, yeah, it might have been suicide, but it looks more like murder to me. Somebody didn't want Jeffrey talking. But again, you know, let's shroud that with a little bit more mystery. Who's to say they just didn't unlock the door and the back door to the jail for his waiting car, and he was whisk away. A little food for thought now, isn't it? The Clinton body count, theorized by conspiracy buffs. You know, they keep telling me I'm a gun nut, I'm a gun lover. You know, I don't love my guns. I wish to hell I didn't have to have the things. You know, I also wished I didn't have to shave every day, but it is what it is. Amazing. Now, why do you think she did that? To get ahead of something, maybe? Because there'll be more criticisms coming forth? More charges levied? This is what politicians do. If they cannot make the stories go away, they put out their own narrative, they get their friends on board, and they spin the narrative to where they want it to be. And, oh, by the way, it pops its ugly head up again. See, they're at it again. There they go, as Ronald Reagan was famously quoted as saying, there they go again. Yeah, Red Ronnie? Yeah, you had a lot of people fooled, too. Again, folks, we keep chipping away at this. There might be a president seated in the Oval Office that's no longer the commander-in-chief. You know what? He's this president of the United States, not commander-in-chief, because he's only commander-in-chief in wartime. But ever since World War II, what have they referred to the president as being? Commander-in-chief. Why? Because we've always been blowing somebody up somewhere. And now they've fixed it that, well, we don't even have to give the public a reason. We just blanket it under national security and we can go blow up anybody we want to. There. Simple as that. We don't have to declare war. We don't have to give our reasons. We don't have to be on a voting record with our name and the reasons why we voted for a war. Let's just make this easy. Let's just have the president himself decide who and what and where he's going to go bomb, blast, and send into the hither and beyond. Another violation of the rule of law in this country. And they're not done. Every president has taken advantage of the situation for good or bad. And thank you for sending this cute little thing over. We cap that story that I just did. When your enemies all commit suicide, there is smiling Hillary with the palms up, just laughing, going, I guess I'm just lucky. She feels the heat coming. You better believe that. And we've noticed nothing is done to Hillary. The Clinton Foundation, that would have been the can of worms. Once opened, that would have been a gift that would have kept on giving, folks. Given the opportunity to investigate and charge, and then to squeeze those people to get the bigger fish and the bigger crimes. Oh, yeah, we'll put you in witness protection. Yeah, you're going to be living in some little shack out in Arizona someplace and probably delivering pizzas in Phoenix at night. But you know what? It's better than being dead now, isn't it? Every once in a while, you might even be able to eat a free pizza. Fringe benefits. We are at a tipping point in this country. And you can see the powers that be, how they're carefully manipulating and putting things in the direction that they want them to go. It's been 11 years. I'm still waiting for the first guy to be charged with malfeasance and fraud and just... You remember that little banking thing that happened back in 2008? Remember that one? Yeah, biggest ripoff ever witnessed by mankind. Anybody charged? Anybody go to jail? Hell no. And what are we doing? We're still doing the quantitative easing. Bailing out the people that are the people's master. But see, most people in this country don't recognize it and don't think of it in those terms. Ron Paul told me one night, $150 trillion in debt, John. Well, we've got this little thing, this $21, $22 trillion. They keep referring to that as being, well, that's what we owe. No. Oh, and by the way, the bankster gangsters, they still got the juice running on the money, so to speak. And one way for independence and the rule of law in this country, everybody keeps going down all these different little rabbit holes. The way I see it, folks, the biggest nemesis and the biggest problem we have in this country are the bankers themselves. Free enterprise, given freedom. It's an engine that once you start that puppy up, you better hang on, brother. Because these markets, the commercial markets, will regulate themselves. I know that's hard to believe, but they do. I didn't post this story. Somebody who posted the Russian children will be taught how to assemble AK-47s as part of a patriotism lesson in schools. Oh, my goodness. It was posted up yesterday. Sophia Ankle for Business Insider writes, as a tribute to what would have been the 100th birthday of Mikhail Kalashnikov's Russian Ministry of Education, has released guidelines for schools to teach students how to assemble assault rifles. Kalashnikov, known as the creator of the assault rifle, and again, they're still using an assault rifle. It's not a full military weapon, folks. It's semi-automatic. But, yeah, who wants to quibble with those who don't care about the facts? The lessons are intended to foster patriotism, help school children from Russia identify, and allow them to understand the value of defending their fatherland. The lessons include everything from reading books written by Kalashnikov to comparing his well-known rifles with the American M16. No comparison there, folks. Trust me on that one. A lot of you vets in Vietnam threw down the... the M16s and picked up the AK-47 because it was a better rifle, had greater stopping power. Wow. In that environment, humid environment, you better keep that puppy oiled up. And even if you kept it extremely clean and oiled up, it still had this damn problem of jamming up. And then the wonderful people that invented that wonderful rifle gave you a forward assist, so you got to jam round in there. Oh yeah, keep pounding that. Yeah, push that forward assist. Get that puppy really jammed in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The lessons can take on different formats depending on the school's resources. The manual states these include everything from reading books written by Kalashnikov to comparing his well-known rifles, as I said, to the M16. In some schools, students will be will also learn how to assemble and disassemble the rifle. Pupils in their final 2 years of school will also discuss Kalashnikov's letter to the head of the Russian Orthodox Church in 2012, in which he expressed his regret, saying he feared he was to blame for all the deaths linked to the AK-47. Yeah, Mr. Kalashnikov, really? A good man with a gun doesn't do bad things. The good man with a gun seeks to preserve that which is good. The manual also states that more people have been killed by the Kalashnikov than by artillery fire, air raids, rocket fire combined, and every year, 250,000 people die as a result of AK projectiles. So far, no designer has achieved anything comparable. Well, could have, if they copied the AK and called it the M16. It's not clear how long the lessons go on, although the ministry said that their aim was to educate children to be proud of their country. And here's that evil Russian, Vladimir Putin. In 2017, he honored the memory of Kalashnikov with a giant monument in Moscow. But critics are concerned about Russia developing a warlike understanding of patriotism. Wow, is that a stretch here? Let me see. In our schools, if we taught children about freedom and liberty and about the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, including that evil Second Amendment, wow. Yeah, they're not the best things to have around kids, but you know what? Sometimes they're just necessary. Instead, they're too busy trying to suck your brains through your ears, make you millennials and then post-millennial. I don't even know what they're calling that group now. They just want you texting and tweeting and not paying attention to anything. Why, the powers that be gobble up what's going to be left of your future. Oh, man. They're not going to be happy campers once they discovered what's happening to them and they don't like it. And then look at the parents' generation and say, why in the hell didn't you do something about this? Well, that's my question. Why in the hell haven't we done anything about this for years? And then we complain the police state's here. And then we complain about, ooh, the banks and, geez, the economy. What? What? Have we become a nation of whiners and not doers? A little bit of education in the right place, folks, can go a country mile in preserving that which you and I hold dear. For God knows where. I guess I'll know when I get there. I'm learning to fly around the clouds. But what goes up must come down.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Am I being good today, Mikey? Let's see if we can't change that. David, is it in San? What is it? What? That's what I was going to say, but you interrupted me. I got the first part right. San Francisco. Hello, David.
All right, Jim.
Hi.
And actually, it's San Francisco. Yeah, we're just south of there. But You know, I was interested. You were talking about that gun training. What year would that have been?
Gun training.
Were you talking about using school to teach you how to make work a Kalashnikov?
Yeah, that was just recently in the last couple of years. That was in Russia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. The reason I ask, I ran into a book about the origins of Vietnam and how Stalin was trying to get rid of all of the guns from the hands of the people after World War II, and how he gathered up all the guns actually before the Germans got defeated. He was trying to make sure that they didn't come and get him. So he basically sold them to the Vietnamese, and that the way that Vietnam got armed was by Stalin making sure that the guns weren't in the hands of the average person. So that's why I was asking if there was some sort of a training going on in the Soviet Union, what year would that have been?
That I don't have an answer for.
Yeah. There's an interesting book, though, that I ran into, and it is written more about the aftermath of the fall of the Soviet Union. I don't know if you are able to haunt old bookstores, but it's called Comrade J. And he was a KGB agent. I think he was stationed. He might even have been a top guy in Montreal. I remember he was in Canada just about the time the Soviet Union fell apart, and then he got called back to Moscow and then was put in. I think the KGB officially fell apart, but he was put in, and I'm trying to think of the acronym for the Russian State Department's, is it GSR? I'm trying to think of what it is. But he switched offices, so to speak, but kept on the same duties. And so he was there both as like a KGB agent and then in the later, so he was there on the cusp of before and after the Soviet Union fell apart. Again, it's called Comrade J. And he talks about Putin and what Putin's personality was like before the fall of the Soviet Union and then afterward. And it's pretty interesting. If you remember when the Soviet Union was going, there was no exchange rate between the U.S. dollar and the ruble.
Mm-hmm.
You could not buy anything from Russia using a U.S. dollar. You had to find some international currency.
We're running out of time here, David.
Yeah, well, it's just at the fall of the Soviet Union, when the ruble was still worth nothing, the super rich of the world, as well as organized crime, just bought Russia. And that's who the oligarchs are. They're front men for the Rothschilds. They're front men for organized crime. And Putin has got a delicate balancing act of between the Rothschilds, organized crime, and
kind of like Donald Trump in the USA and the New World Order. By the way, you're into history? You got Netflix by any chance?
I can find it, yeah.
Good. Watch Let It Fall. That's the current history of what happened in L.A. It might surprise you. David, right. I thank you for your call, sir.
Give way.
All righty.
Wait.
What? Did he say wait or have a good week? Have a good week. Okay. Steve Elkins is here. He'll be joining us in the second hour. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the top of the hour break. 800-313-9443.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner.
homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.